Heat off at Sweetbriar. We have 48 degrees here, a little cooler away from the lake.
I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
And we are spotlighting Avon Lake, broadcasting from the Legacy Grill here at Sweetbriar. We'll be here today and tomorrow. Tomorrow I've got the mayor coming by, and we'll talk to the folks from Sweetbriar, the golf course. We have a golf pro that'll give us some tips, or at least get me excited maybe to become a future golfer.
Maybe you could buy a club. They've got clubs here.
I don't know. Let's check in with Scott Petrek. He follows the Browns. Scott, are you a golfer at all?
I am. I love golf. There's nothing I would rather do than play golf.
Especially on a Sunday, a beautiful Sunday in October, right?
Well, I don't know about that, but I do love golf.
Yeah, well, let's talk about our Cleveland Browns yesterday. The word humiliated didn't take too far for people to write that in their stories. What is happening with this ball club?
Yeah, it's really disappointing. You know, they had a three-game stretch that started a week ago in Indianapolis. And it looked like this is where they could make some hay in the schedule and get some confidence and settle everything down. And instead, they lose to winless Indianapolis, and they get blown out at home by winless Cincinnati. So you kind of start to question everything about the direction of the organization and the coaching staff and the stability and the future. It felt like that kind of loss yesterday. You know, nothing went right. The defense, which is supposed to be a strength of the team, gave up three straight touchdowns in the second quarter. The offense couldn't get anything going, and Kenny Britt had another ball go off his hands for an interception. You know, it was just, there were really no kind of redeeming qualities from that game.
Scott, it often seems to me the first time the Browns get the ball, it seems like they're not ready to go. Do you ever get that sense?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't started well in any game this year. They've gotten behind in every game this year. Yesterday, they came out and they had 3rd and 3, and Kenny Britt has a false start, so then it becomes 3rd and 8, which is a lot tougher to convert. They don't convert it. But then the defense actually gets a turnover. Emmanuel Agba had a strip sack, recovered the fumble. They're in field goal range already. Kenny Britt falls down, like slips on a play. So instead of a first down, now they have to try a field goal, and the kid misses a field goal. And it's hard to figure why you can't start faster, especially because, you know, Hugh Jackson scripts the first, like, 10 or 15 plays. They practice those all week, and this they come out and they don't have any success with those early drives. And, you know, it's hard to figure out why that is. And then we know that this team is not built to come back, right? They have a rookie quarterback. They want to be able to run the ball, take pressure off him. They don't have anybody at receiver to throw to. So you kind of need to get a lead, so then at least you can keep the other team off balance defensively. And they just can't do it, and they know they can't do it, and they can't figure out how to get it done.
And I think with the frustration of fans is probably compounded by when they see Deshaun Watson play well yesterday. They see the Los Angeles Rams, kind of just about as bad as the Browns were last year, coming out of nowhere and playing some pretty good ball.
Yeah, I think you could say the same for Buffalo. I mean, there's teams, or the Jets even, there's teams that entered the season with expectations that weren't much, if at all, higher than the Browns. And these teams are winning games. The Jets are 2-2. The Bills are 3-1. You mentioned the Rams. You know, Deshaun Watson, I think those are separate things. So you have teams that don't have high expectations, yet they can win games. And then you're looking at the Browns, who have been close and really in one game. I don't know if you count last week against Indianapolis because they were down like 21 or 24 and had to make a rally. So you have those teams that can win games in a league built on parity, and then it looks like the Browns are miles away from winning a game. And then you have Deshaun Watson, who the Browns could have just sat at number 12 and drafted Deshaun Watson. Instead, they hand him to the Texans so they can get another draft pick next year, move down to 25 and take Jabril Peppers, who could turn out to be a good player but looks uncomfortable in the early stages of his career. So I think that's another reason for Browns fans to be frustrated. It's a reason to question the talent evaluation. Did they not recognize that Deshaun Watson could be a good quarterback when all he did was win and have huge games at Clemson. Now, I do have to say that, you know, just because you've had a couple good games in your first three starts does not mean you're going to be a great NFL quarterback. We saw Robert Griffin III. You know, he had a good start and wasn't able to sustain it as his career went along. And I don't want to close the door on Deshaun Kizer. I think Deshaun Watson is in a much better situation than Deshaun Kizer is. And I still have high hopes for Deshaun Kizer. But I know how Browns fans think. And when you're looking at a guy score 5 touchdowns and throw for a ton of yards and put up 57 points and almost beat New England a week ago in New England, you want to compare and you're saying, man, that could have been our guy, especially when the Browns also passed on Carson Wentz the year before.
But they have people that catch the ball, I would assume. I mean, with getting those yards.
You talk about the construction of the roster and how they're going to raise a rookie quarterback. And it means you support the guy. And by not adequately addressing the receiver position, when everyone knew that it was a weakness of the team, that's a huge failing on this front office. And, you know, it could be the undoing of the front office if you get to the end of the season and you can't judge how good your quarterback is because he had no one to throw the ball to.
Scott, it seems like they're putting a lot of weight on this upcoming 2018 draft. They have so many draft choices. But it takes a couple of years for players to really develop and get the feel for things. So now we're looking at, what, 2020, 2021 before we can expect anything really good to happen?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a couple different points there. One, it doesn't always need to take that long. And I think that's the front office has kind of established this thought pattern of, yeah, it's going to take years for these guys to develop. Well, it doesn't always take years for guys to develop. We just mentioned Deshaun Watson. 3 games and he's already playing well. There's rookies who have instant impacts. So I get that you need some sense of, hey, this doesn't happen overnight, but I don't like that mindset, and I have a problem with the front office, and it even went up to Jimmy Haslam, the owner, saying in training camp, I think we're going to take a significant jump in 2018 or 2019. Well, 2017 season hadn't even started yet. I don't agree with that mindset. And I think the roster construction leads into that because there's 33 of the players on the roster have 2 years or less experience. You don't win like that normally, but there's other teams in the league that were nearly as bad as the Browns last year and made moves to make them better right away. And the Browns didn't make many of those moves. And I take issue with that. And, you know, they had 14 draft picks in 2016. They had 10 draft picks in 2017. So they don't have to point to a lot of draft picks next year. They already had those. And if you're Jimmy Haslam and you're evaluating what to do with your organization, I think you have to look at the 24 draft picks that this regime has already made, and you have to question if they're good enough, because if they're not good enough, why would you let them make 5 picks in the first 2 rounds next year when that could be as crucial as draft is any you've had before?
Jets are coming to town next week, bringing Josh McCown. What kind of a storyline are we going to see develop here? What's Josh is going to show up, and are we going to see a guy that we thought, you know, that's the guy we got rid of, or that's the guy that maybe we should have just held on to?
Right. Well, I mean, obviously we don't know that yet, but Josh is playing well in New York. He's got back-to-back wins. You know, that's a team that in New York they felt they were tanking and were doing everything possible to get the number one pick in the draft so they could take a quarterback. And now they're 2-2 in a game out of first place in their division. So that's what I mean by, you know, teams with low expectations winning. And Josh McCown, you know what, I know he didn't play well here and he was always hurt, and I'm not even sure he won a game in Cleveland. I know he won on the road. But he was a guy that made sense on this roster. He would be the perfect mentor for Deshaun Kizer, and he's shown that he can still play in this league with what he's doing with the Jets. So I'm not sure why the Browns got rid of him after last season when they had all the cap space in the world and he wasn't making a lot of money. But I'll tell you this, if the Jets come in and Josh McCown beats this Browns team and they drop to 0-5 and the schedule then gets harder, it's going to be hard for Jimmy Haslam to stand pat and look at his, whether it's front office and or coaching staff, and say, yeah, everything's okay.
Right. Well, most of us in Cleveland sports will be following the Indians because that'll be the game three of the division series. Scott, we appreciate your time this morning. We'll talk again next Monday, hopefully after a win, perhaps.
We'll
talk to you.
Well, later. We'll
Thank
see.
You. Yep, absolutely. Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram, at Scott Petrick on Twitter. Also, you can follow him at thebrownszone.com, where he puts all the stories together, lots of great orange and brown and maybe some positive stories that he can develop.
Mm-hmm.
Tough being a Browns beat reporter